Okay, we're starting here 7 lines down on Tzadik Chet Amud Aleph. Gemara says, "V'kama Amma Benunit." What's this Amma Benunit? Am Rabbi Yochanan Shishat Tefachim. It's a 6 tefach Amma, and we also know that from Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, who says that he's talking about an Amma Benunit, and he uses 6 tefachim. Am Rabbi Yosi Beravin Afanani Namitanina. Rabbi Meir Omer Shulchan Orkol Shneimasar Rachbo Shisha, and we know that the Shulchan was 2 amot by 1 am, and he's given the measurements as 12 and Shisha. So now the Gemara questions over here: Michlal Dahavi Amma Danafishamina. The underlying assumption is that if 6 is the Benunit, that means that there's some Amma above that, that there's something bigger than that. Mar says, in, that's true. But now we have a Mishnah that says that explicitly, which is, Shtei Amot Ayu B'Shushana Bira. In Shushana Bira, not referring to the city, but rather to the gate, which is the eastern gateway into the Har HaBayit. Over there was a building above the gateway. In that building, they had the measurements room. That's where they took all measurements. So now they had over there 2 measurements in the Shoshana Bira, achat al keren mizrachit tzvonit, one on the northeastern side, achat al keren mizrachit dromit, and one on the southeastern side. Since the gate's on the eastern side, it's on the north and south on either end of this gateway. Al keren mizrachit tzvonit, the one on the northern side, yeteral shel Moshe chatzi etzba, was greater than the Amma of Moshe by 1/2 etzba. Shal keren mizrachit dromit, on the other hand, the one on the southern side, aita yeteral aha chatzi etzba, is 1/2 etzba above the first measurement. Nimtzeit, from that you would conclude Yeterah Shel Moshe Etzba. If the first one's 1/2 etzba above Moshe, and the second one's 1/2 etzba over the first one, then in total it's 1 etzba above that of Moshe. Now we do find an Amma, which is an Amma but Shishat Tefachim, that has an excess of 6 tefachim. So now we found our Amma that has more than 6 tefachim, and that's why the 6 tefach Amma is called the Benonit. V'lam amru achat gedola v'achat kitana. What is the purpose of having one big one and one small one? Kedei she'umanim notlim b'ktana. Purpose was that the umanim would contract at the lower and then bring back at the higher level. In order to ensure that they never benefited from hekdesh, they didn't end up with any excess, they used to contract at the standard amma, the 6 tefach amma, that was what they contracted with the migdash. Then when they brought back their services or whatever they were providing, they measured it based on the amot found in Shushan Abira, which was in excess of what they contracted. That way they were always providing more than they contracted for. And by doing such, they ensured that they would never have Mi'ilah. Well, I'm sure that after a while, you know, after the first time or second time, someone figures out how much they're going to have to give. Even though they're contracting at a standard number, they know that that number really means this plus. And so they're going to charge based on it. So I'm not sure if it works always, but that was the methodology. But Tarta Lamali, why do I need 2 of them? We only need 1 bigger than the standard Amma to do this. When I say it's Chadal Lekaspo V'Davel, Chadal Binyono, 1 for silver and gold, and 1 for building materials. Basically, coarser materials required or used the one that was bigger, the one that was an etzba over Moshe, and the finer or more expensive materials like gold and silver used the one that was only a chatzi etzba above Moshe, because obviously those were things that were expensive and therefore we wouldn't demand of them to bring so much more and so much in excess of what they contracted. So now on this eastern gateway there was a picture of Shushan Abira. My time. What was the reason it was there? They argue about the reason. In order that they should know where they came from. So that's the As Rashi explains over here, which is interesting, what does it mean that they knew where they were coming from? That means that they understood that the graciousness and generosity of the Malchut, the Persian kingdom, had given them the right to return to Yerushalayim. So they should understand that. I would have said that you could probably even argue that it's even towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should understand that they've come back from Galut to Yerushalayim and have Todah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously, because it's Shushan HaBira there, this was something imposed by the Persian kings. And therefore we say here, so they should know the generosity of the rulers. The other way around, which is that they should live in fear of the Malchut. They should remember under whose dominion they are. And even though they have some sort of independent rulership, independent religious authority, nevertheless, they're still subject to the rules of the kingdom, and they should have that. One should always have the Eimat HaMalchut on them. I'm going to give examples here from the Psukim. First one is the famous one from Moshe when he's speaking to Paro. Says we do call avadecha ele Allah elai vishtachavuli. So Moshe says that what's going to happen now is after Makat Bechorot, all of you are going to come, all of your servants are going to come down to me, bend unto me, and throw me out of here. Lemor. Ve'ilu l'didei lo kam arle. Yet he does not address Paro directly and say, you, Paro, are going to come down to me. And in the end, that's what happened. Who came down to him? It was Paro who found him in the night to throw him out. The respect for Malchut, the Emat Malchut, makes it that Moshe does not address Paro directly and say, you will do it, but rather your servants will do it. Yochanan says that we learn it out from here. Again, we saw these psukim in Zvachim, which is by Eliyahu Hanavi and Achav. And it says, V'yad Hashem Maital Eliyahu,
V'yishaneis
Matnov, V'yaratz Lifnei Achav Ad Bo'acha Yisraela. That Achav, who was in a chariot, but he was alone. And so Eliyahu felt it was inappropriate for the king to go alone. And therefore he girds his loins and he runs in front of the chariot as if he was the servant of the king. Even though he's a Navi Hashem, nevertheless, because of the Malchut, he treats the Melech in his Malchut, in his proper manner. And that's how we know from here that you should always have Imat Malchut Alecha. Alright, so now the Gemara flip back to the Psukim in Yechezkel. It's talking about here, we talked about the Binyan HaMikdash from Yechezkel. Over there it says that there's going to be a river that comes out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the time in the Binyan of Yechezkel. And it says, V'aleyu L'Trufa. Its leaves will be medicinal in nature. They will cure ailments. Now, Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the reason we're bringing this down is because they're the same machlokas against these two same people. It's Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. One of them says to the cure is for the mouth above, and one of them says for the mouth below. So Itmar, you have the same machlokas between Chizkiah Amar, La'atir Pe Ilumim. The explanation of Pe Lamalo means that it will be a cure for those that are mute. They will be able to speak. That's what the Aleo de Chuva is. Or Kapara Amar La'atir Pe Akarot. The Pe Lamata means that it will cure those that are barren, those that are unable to have children. That's what this will cure. So the same machlokas, they're just explaining or expanding on the terms of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi and Rav Chisda, explaining what it means that they will be cured in these two areas. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi here is the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the Amora, and another Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, which seems to be there's one in like in the Gemara in Brachot who is quoting B'Shem Rabbi much earlier on. He's quoting in Rabbi's name, so this obviously Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi here, who is a peer of Rav Chisda, is not the same Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi as a much later Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Gemara you'll find there's Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi who's much closer to Rabbi and first generation Amora versus here where we're dealing with later generation Amora. Now the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan. Ilu ne'amar, v'lakachta solet, v'afita uta 12 chalot, v'samta utam 2 marachot, lo namar 6. So afterwards, the pasuk says, 2 marachot 6 amarechet. So that gives you the description of what the lechem apanim are. So had it not written 6 amarechet, hayit omer, 1 shel 4 v'1 shel 8. Because all it says is have 12, and they have to be in two towers, or two piles. So I would have said, okay, you can make 8 and 4, you can make 7 and 5, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be 6 and 6. So kach ne'amar 6. So that's why it says 6 amarechet. To tell you each one, each line has 6 in it, or each pile has 6 in it. Vilomer shtaim marachot sheish amarechet. Had the pasuk just said 2 piles, sheish amarechet, each marechet is sheish. Lo nemar shteim esrei, and it didn't limit it to 12. Hayitomer shalosh shel sheish sheish. I would have said, okay, every marechet has to have at least 6 in it. You put 2 marachot, you need 6 and 6. You want to put a third marechet? No problem. Just add another 6. It's just defining for you that every marechet has 6 in it. So you could have 12, you could have 18, you could have 24. It doesn't define for you or cap you how many you can have. Kach ne'amar 12. So that's where it says 12 to teach you that there's a limit as to how many chalot you can have. Ve'lo ne'amar 12 chalot umarachot. Had it just said 12 umarachot, ve'lo ne'amar 2 v'sheish, and it didn't say the 2 marachot as well as the 6 on each marachet, then I would have said you could have 3 of them of 4 and 4. You have 12 in total, and you have marachot, but they just each one's made up of 4. The kach ne'amar 2 v'sheish, and that's why it tells you over there that to be 2 marachot 6 marachet. Ha, ad shelo yemru gyum makrot olah. Without these three psukim, or really these three terms in pasuk or definitions of the pasuk, lo lamadno, we wouldn't have known this. Haketzad, so what is the proper way? Natein shtay marachot shel sheish sheish. That you make 2 piles or 2 towers of 6 that total up to 12. Now vim adnatan achat shel arba v'achat shel shmona lo yatsa. And if you do 1 of 4 and 1 of 8, it doesn't work. The psukim laid out for us that that's not the way to do it. Shtayim shel sheva sheva. What happens if he does 2 with 7 and 7? So within 7 and 7 in the 2 piles or the 2 towers, he has 6 and 6 are in there. What happens to this extra one that he puts on top, the 7th one? Rabbi Amar Roim yatsa. We just look at the top one as if it's not there, and therefore it's he has the 6-6. Wait a minute, how could you do that? Natata al. Don't you have to have the bazich elabona sit on the lechem apanim? And if you look at the top lechem as not being there, then where are you going to place the bazich elabona? We've seen this before. Rabbi is his own reason. Damar al besamuch, like we saw in the Mishnah. Right? Abba Shaul also describes it that way. But al doesn't always mean on, but rather means next to, adjacent to, close to. So also over here, you don't have to have them literally on top. Titan, your Rabbi Omer v'natata la marechet lebonazaka al bisamuch. Al means close by. Ata Omer al bisamuch Rabbeinu Ela Mamash, maybe it means Al Mamash, literally on top of Shomer. So he brings a different example, as opposed to our Mishnah, we brought the example of the Al Matem Menasheh. He brings example from the Parochet. Sakot Al Aron et HaParochet. The Parochet is the drape that sits between the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Kodesh, and it's not on top of the Aron. It sits close to the Aron, but not on top of it. Yet it says, Sakota Al Aron, that it'll shade or sit above the Aron. Aviomer Al Basamuch Al, that can't literally mean on top of, but rather close to, adjacent to. All right, Tosis just asked over here, by the way, on Rebbe's solution. He says that we learned yesterday, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the table is only mekadesh up to 12 tefachim high, according to one who says that it's 2 tefachim on the walls of the Lechem Panim, up to 15, according to the one who says it's 2.5. But here Rabbi is saying besamuch, means that he thinks he put them on the table. So he must be holding that the table over here was 12 tefachim, and there was space on the table to put them down. So now, if the bazichim are put up on top, it's over 12. So if it's over 12, how is it mekadesh? And forget about being al besamuch. You have to be on the table, within the airspace of the table, that's mekadesh. So what does he say? He says that the 7th challah, Lechem HaPanim, that was on top, as well as the bazich HaLevanah, were submerged in the 6th one. He said that yesterday, or 2 days ago, with the fact that he put the bazich inside the top challah. So over here, he had the 7th one and the bazich on top of the top challah, in order that it's within the airspace that is normally mikadesh.
Why don't we say it's about those?
The Gemara is not addressing it, but it could be about Tosi. All right, Tanu Rabbanan. Kol Kelim Shemikdash or Kono or Koshel Bayit, Chutz Me'aron, Sharkol or Koshel Bayit. Here we have a principle we laid out, that all the Kelim in the Mikdash follow the structure of the Mikdash. Mikdash sits east-west on its length, it's north-south on its width. So do all the Kelim, lengthwise, go east-west, and their Rochav, their width sits north-south. Except, the only exception to that is the Aron. The Aron, which was going to sit, its length is going to sit north-south. This is the way it was put, and this is the way that its poles were put. My kamar. Hachigamar. Kachayamunach. So that was how it was placed. The reason that the Aron is situated north-south is because of the Badim, the way the Badim are placed. Ubadav min alin. How do we know where the Badav were? The Tanya. Yiruchu abadim. They put on the Badim. Yachalo yehei nogim beparochet. I would think when you put in the Badim, they will not touch the parochet. Tamalomar vayiru. That they were visible. If they were visible, yachalim karim beparochet. I would think that they were, like there were holes in the parochet or something that allowed them to come out of the parochet that they were seen, and therefore they came out. They were visible in the parochet, but they were not visible on the outside. Hakeitzad. How does that work? See what you were asking before. Dochakim uvoltim. They press up against the parochet and they protrude outwards. So you can see in the parochet, you can see them protruding, but you can't actually physically see these. Dochakim uvoltim parochet, v'domim k'mishnei tadei isha. Like the breasts of a woman that are protruding, so they're not visible, but you can see the shape. Shenemar tzror amor dodili ben shaddai yalin. So over here, they're talking about the love between Bnei Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that they will rest ben shaddai. So the shaddai here are referring to the Badim. So the underlying assumption here is that the Badim sit across the width of the Aron, that the length of the Aron is between the two Badim. You would have thought that the Badim sit on their own on a long ways, that they're parallel to the length of the Aron. That is not true. They are parallel to the width of the Aron, and the longer part of the Aron sits between the Badim. That way, if the Badim are protruding out of the Parochet, that means which way is the Aron sitting? The Aron is sitting north-south, because it's sitting across its length. Now, how do you know that that's the case? That's where the Badim are. Maybe the Badim sit on the length of their own. The Aron is width is an Amma and a half. We know that there are 4 Kohanim that carry the Aron. So if you have 4 Kohanim carrying the Aron and they're inside the poles, they're all inside the poles, then if you put the poles along the length of the Aron, there's only a space of 1.5 between the Badim, and you can't fit 2 people in a space of 1.5. So that can't be. So it must be that the poles sit along the width of the Aron and the length is in between, which gives you space for 2 Kohanim be inside the poles on each side. So it says, "Pagalo bistagale uman lan da arba abdover lohu." How do you know that the 4 Kohanim carried the Aron? Dichtiv, because it says, "Nasu hakehatim nosei hamigdash." So nasu hakehatim in plural, hakehatim is 2. Nosei hamigdash is also 2. So that gives you the 4, because what's the migdash here means the one thing that is the most kodesh, that's the Aron. So that is the 4 Kohanim that carry it. Since you have 4 Kohanim carrying it, they have to fit inside. I mean, there is an underlying assumption here that the Kohanim had to be on the inside of the poles and not on the outside of the poles to carry the Aron. But given that fact, you would have to have enough space for two people, and with 1.5 amot, that is not sufficient. Whereas in the length side of the Aron, which is 2.5 amot long, there you could fit the two people in to carry on the inside, and therefore the poles run along parallel with the width of the Aron, the length sitting in between it. Now, in the Mikdash, if we know the poles are protruding out of the Parochet, then we know that the Aron itself is sitting north-south, because its length sits between the poles, and the poles are running east-west. Now, what we're talking about the Parochet over here, we're talking about the Bayit Rishon, because in Bayit Sheni, even though there were Parochot there, there was no Aron. The Aron disappears, it's put into Gniz in the time of Yoshio. So we're talking about the Parochet here, we're talking about the doorway of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was the Amat Shraksin, there was a wall, there was an Amat wide, and there was a doorway that was between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That doorway was covered by a Parochet, not again as a wall, but rather as a Tzniut. It was just the cover that was there, and that's what we're discussing over here, this Parochet. Now, the other interesting thing, Tosus points this out, he doesn't understand. He says, in the Mishkan, we know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim together were 30 Amot. 20 of them belonged to the Kodesh. 10 Amot were the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Over there, I can understand that the poles protruded out of a Parochet. In the Mikdash, the Devir, we're going to see this in a second, was 20 Amot. 20 Amot, how do the poles ever reach the Parochet? If the Aron is sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the center, how do the poles reach it? So Tosus says, that's the additional Maisa Nes here. That Yedei Nes, Heirichu Abadim. Ad Shiyu Dochakim Ubotim. V'nirim Kishnei Dadei Isha. The Chibatan Shel Yisrael. That was the Chibah. Part of the Chibah was that the poles got longer and protruded through the Parochet. That was part of this miracle that happened, because otherwise, it's true in the Mishkan, but when you get to the Mikdash that the room is so much bigger, the poles of the Aron shouldn't have protruded that far. Reitan Rabbanan. Asara Shulchanot Asa Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 Shulchanot. Shneimar V'yas Shulchanot Asara. V'yinach V'yichal. They were placing the Chichal. Chamisham Yamin V'chamisham Smol. 5 on the right side, 5 on the left side. Im Tomar Chamisham Yamin HaPetach V'chamisham Smol HaPetach. You see, that means on the right side and the left side of the Petach, meaning the either side of the Petach, then the Shulchan ends up in the south, and the Shulchan is supposed to be in the north of the Eichal. It's supposed to be on the northern side. Ella, how do you lay them out here? So there are 10 that Shlomo made, plus the one that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are 11 Shulchanot over there. No, okay, that's it. We'll get to tomorrow. There's machlokes tomorrow if they were functional, these shulchanot. Were they decorative or functional? Ela shel Moshe be'emtza. Moshe's in the emtza. V'chamisha miyino v'chamisha mismolo. 5 on the right and 5 on the left. Right and left here refer to like the Torah's right and left. Right meaning south and small meaning north. Even though, truthfully, when you turn about right and left, that's when you're facing east. When you're facing east, the right is Yamin is south, and left is north, is small. Over here, even though the Mikdash faces west, and if you were facing west to right and left, right would have been north, and left would have been south. Nevertheless, Rashi claims over here that the reference to right and left is right and left of the normal perspective of an individual, which means north is the left, and south is the right. So, Tarabanan. Eser menorot asa Shlomo. Alright, Tarabanan. Eser menorot asa Shlomo. Shlomo made 10 menorot. Shnemar v'yaseh te menorot azahav. Eser kemishpat. V'yitem be'ichal. Chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol. V'im tomar chamisha miyamin ha-petach. Chamisha ma'asmol ha-petach. Gonna say the same thing over here. 5 on the right of the doorway. 5 on the left of the doorway. Im kei matzino menorah b'tzafon. Then the menorah is gonna end up on the northern side of the Eichal. V'atorah ma'ar v'et ha-menorah nochach ha-shulchan. The menorah is opposite the shulchan. If the shulchan is b'tzal ha-tzafon, on the northern side, that means that the menorah has got to be on the southern side. Again, Moshe is in the middle, and then we have it's on the south and north. Tani chado. We have one brayta that says mechatzi bayit v'lifnim ayu menachim. They were halfway in the bayit inward. Tani chado mishlisha bayit v'lifnim. It's one third of the bayit inward ayu menachim. V'lo kasha. There's no machloket between them. Marka chashi beit kodesh hakodeshim ba'ad eichal. One of them counts the heichal and the kodesh hakodeshim. Marlok chashi beit kodesh hakodeshim ba'ad eichal. One of them does not count. Because the Kodesh HaKodeshim is 20 Amot long, east-west, and the Kodesh is 40 Amot. So now, depending on how you look at this, I say, where are the Menorah and Shulchan placed? One writer says, halfway, past the halfway point. That's talking about the Kodesh. In the 40 Amot of the Kodesh, they were in the half, past the halfway point. They were 20 Amot into the Kodesh. That means they were from the 20 Amot inward to the western side. They were on the western side of the Kodesh, past the halfway point, which means past 20 Amot. On the other hand, the other writer said it's one-third of the way in. One-third of the way in is if you count the Kodesh. Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Kodesh HaKodesh HaKodeshim together are 60 Amot. 60 Amot, one-third is 20 Amot inward. So they're past the 20 Amot point, which is halfway of the Kodesh, towards the western side. They're both saying the same thing, it's just a question of which perspective they're doing, which context. If you're just talking about the Kodesh, it's past the halfway point. If you're talking about the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim together, it's past the one-third point. Means both of them are saying they're past the 20 Amot inward point, the halfway point of the Kodesh, that's where they're replaced. So now, Tzvi, your question. Mimizrach u'marav ayu menachim divei Rav. Rabbi says all the tables were laid out east-west. Elazar Rabbi Shimon amer tzafon v'darum. They were laid out north-south. Now my time with the Rabbi, gamar miminorah. He learns it out from the menorah. Ma minorah mizrach ma'arav, just like the menorah was laid out east-west. Avhani nami mizrach u'marav. These two were laid out east-west. U'minorah gufa minalon. How do you know that the menorah itself was east-west? Midichtiv b'ner maravi. It says by the ner maravi, the western ner, yarokoto aron lifnei Hashem. That he will place the ner maravi lifnei Hashem, which implies that there is a ner that is lifnei Hashem. Well, how is there a ner lifnei Hashem? Mikal dekulu lav lifnei Hashem. The remainder of the candles are not lifnei Hashem. So if the menorah is sitting east-west, that means that the most western candle is lifnei Hashem. It's the closest to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, as opposed to the other nerot, which are further away. That ner maravi is lifnei Hashem. If you have the menorah north-south, all the Nerot are equidistant from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Because it's laying north-south, they're all equidistant to the... There's no Ner lifnei Hashem. So that can't be the explanation. What I explain now is going to Rashi. Rashi says here that the Ner Maravi is the most western Ner. On the other hand, Tosfos here says, and we've seen this in other places, that the Ner Maravi is really the second one from the east. It's the east, the most eastern one is not lifnei Hashem. The one after that is the Ner Maravi. Because it's west of the first Ner. And that's called the Ner Maravi. So the Ner Maravi is really the two eastern Nerot, but the second one in from the east. Side, it's called the Ner Maravi, according to Tosfos. According to Rashi here, he's saying the Ner Maravi is the one all the way to the west, the one the closest to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now, v'isal gadachat tzafon v'darom, if the menorah is laid out north-south, kulunami lifnei Hashem ninu, all the candles are equidistant from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Blazer Rabbi Shimon, my time of Gomer mi'aron. Why does he say that everything was laying out north-south? He says, I learned from the Aron. Ma'aron tzafon v'darom, just like the Aron was laid out to north-south, afhani nami tzafon v'darom. So to these, the Shulchan are laid out north-south. Rabbi namadigmar mi'aron, let him learn it out from the Aron. Says, and we're learning out something that's placed in the Eichal. Something that's placed in the Eichal. Shulchan from the menorah. And I'm not going to learn out the Shulchan from the Aron. Why doesn't he learn it out from the menorah? So he says, wait a minute. I don't even agree with Rab. I think the menorah itself was north-south. So if I learn out from the menorah, I'm going to end up in the same position with the Shulchan being north-south. Ella, what about the Pasuk? How is that possible that it's one is lifnei Hashem? According to you, if it's north-south, which one of the candles is lifnei Hashem? They're all equidistant from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. He says, "Dimitzadid lehu atzudei." They used to move the one of the candles, one of the holders was closer to the west. And how did he do that? He did this from the famous, what we know, the famous Limud, the Daniel Mu Pnei Amarai Yiru Shivata Neirot, Lehu Ayud Sadidim Pneihem Kafei Nera Emtzai. That all the Neirot, the three on each side, had their wicks pointing towards the middle. And the middle one was, its wick was pointing towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And therefore, it was known as the Ner Maravi. The Ner Emtzai will be the Ner Maravi because its wick, its light, is the closest to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So, Amar Rabbi Nata Mikan Shemtzai Mishubach, that the middle one is the best. Rashi claims that here we're speaking about the Aliyot during the weekday. We know during the weekday, Monday and Thursday, you read the Torah, you read 10 psukim, and you have to read 3, 3, and 4. That's how we do it. We do 3, 3, and then 4 as a minimum. He says, Avir Emtzai Mishubach means that the 4 should be for the Levi, for the middle one. Mishubach, so it should be 3, 4, 3. That's what Rashi says this is referring to. This is what Rabbi Natan is referring to, or in the Gemara Megillah, it's really Rabbi Yochanan that says this. And Tosa says, no, that's not what it's referring to, because there we have Breitot that say even the first and the last are good too. He says that it's talking about here is the Emtzai is talking about when you're going on a trip, or you're walking on the Derech, that the person in the middle is the most Chashuv. The person in the middle, the person on the right and the left are Melaveh, the individual in the middle is the Chashuv. The most Chashuv person should be in the middle, or also by Dinei Suda, we also find that. And when you do Heseba, the one who's in the middle, the Heseba, the ones in the middle, the one above him and below him, and then the middle one is the one who is the most chashuv in the Suda. That's what it's referring to here, that the most chashuv is the middle one. That's the conclusion here. What the Gemara is going to do now, Tzvi, is ask you a question. I'm going to stop over here, which is the layout. According to the one who says north-south and east-west, how were these shulchanot laid out, or how were these menorot laid out, so they did not extend over into the southern side or the northern side, depending on which one, or they didn't pass the halfway point? That's the secondary question. The first question is, which way did the kelim themselves were laid out? Once you know which way the kelim are laid out, how were they laid out in such a manner altogether, create a situation where they were laid out in their proper positions. Okay, we'll stop over here.